I'd be terrified of them, but I like them, yeah, honestly, yeah.
I absolutely adore bees.
Well, I like the look of bees. I admire the stripes. Mm-hmm. I recently had a sting from a bee, and I suppose I associate the negative with the bee rather than the positive.
Don't have any particular fondness for them now.
Terrified of bees. But the honey, as a kid growing up, my father always used it.
On a personal level, I dislike bees because they could sting me.
I love bees. I think that they're the most industrious and productive insect. They're way better than those freeloaders, which are the wasps.
I love bees. I think they're really incredible and beautiful animals.
The role of the bee on our planet is a hot topic globally today. With falling numbers, people are talking about colony collapse disorder and asking, why are the bees disappearing? And what does it mean for our environment? I'm Dr. Lara Dungan, and that's the focus for this, our final episode of Science is Everywhere. But before I head off to meet some bees and an Irish beekeeper, I'm keen to get my facts right. So I'm at the Botany Laboratory in Trinity College, Dublin, with a bee scientist, Anca Deitch. Now, Anca, we all think we know what a bee is, don't we?
Well, you probably know honeybees and you also know wasps. And when you look at wasps, they have very few hair. But a bee usually has a lot of hair and looks very fluffy and furry. But there are actually quite a lot of different bee species. It's estimated that there are something like 20 to 30,000 species worldwide. So, for example, in Germany, it's 580 species, and in Ireland, it's even less. So we have 101 species of Irish bees, and only one single species of them is the honeybee that everyone knows. All the other ones are bees that most people would maybe not recognize as bees. They can be very tiny and plaque-looking, or very big and furry like the bumblebees.
And Anca, this idea of colony collapse, where Ireland alone has seen hive numbers halved, has prompted books and movies and perhaps a bit of popular panic. But how serious is it? I mean, are the bees really disappearing and why?
Well, worldwide we can see that bee populations are declining, and that's mainly the honeybee that's in focus because it's such an important economically used species, but a lot of the wild pollinators, so a lot of the solitary and bumblebee species are in decline as well. And that's not only in Ireland, but that's on the continent, that's in the States. And why it is happening has a lot of different reasons behind it. The main thing is that habitats get fragmented and get lost. So a lot of the wildflower meadows are disappearing. There's basically not enough food for the bees to survive on. So they get weakened and they're more susceptible for parasites, for certain diseases. And so a lot of the populations are basically in decline or dying.
And I've heard pesticides may be part of the problem.
You probably have heard about the current debate about the neonicotinoids. It has been banned on a European level for the next 2 years to kind of enable scientists to do more research on it. But it has been shown that these pesticides can have huge effects on bees.
And besides the idea that honey, particularly local Irish honey, may be disappearing from the supermarket shelves, what does having fewer bees actually mean for us?
Well, a lot of our crop species, not our grains, but a lot of our vegetables and fruits are pollinated by insects. That's why they're important. If we hadn't got any pollinators, there wouldn't be any tomatoes, for example, no apples, no berries in general. So if we hadn't got the bees, well, we would maybe live on wheat, but that's about it.
So Anca, I'm going down to Waterford to spend some time with a beekeeper, but I'm actually a bit nervous about all those stinging bees. How did you get so passionate about them?
Oh, this love actually started right after I finished school. I did an internship on a project farm and they had some beehives and I was responsible for keeping them and I absolutely fell in love with them. It was amazing just to be with them. If you're there, they basically pick up all your mood. So you have to be very calm and relaxed and you really have to be in tune with them.
My name is Micheál Moynihan and I live in Dungarvan. I'm a commercial beekeeper. I operate out of a place called Colligan, which is 7 miles from Dungarvan, and I run about 40 apiaries and I enjoy my life.
So I'm down here now with Micheál Moynihan, who's one of the biggest commercial beekeepers in Ireland. And Micheál, we're both dressed a bit like astronauts, white suits, white gloves and these netted hats. Do you still get stung much?
Any day I'd go at bees, I'd get stung. Yeah, it's just part of the game.
And how did you get into beekeeping yourself?
I saw my dad as a beekeeper and I had a love for bees. And I left school at 16 to go beekeeping, and that was the mother and father of all rows when I left school to go beekeeping. And I don't regret it. I'll never be a rich person, but I could say I enjoyed my life. I feel privileged that I was a beekeeper. It's an annual cycle. I'm always in tune with where I am. You know, people have a watch and they know what time of the day it is. But I'd always be acutely aware of what day of the year it was, because the season rolls on and certain things happen at a certain time. And I'd always be mindful of what day of the year it was so that I'd know where I was in the beekeeping cycle.
So what is life like as a beekeeper?
Well, I suppose the season starts then in March. I go out and you'd have hives, you'd want to check that they were okay for stores and give them a little feed if they weren't and see that everything is okay and start getting them. And then the beekeeping season kind of gets kick-started then in May. May comes along then and you have 1 week in May and 1 week there's no leaves on the trees and the next week all the trees are after opening, and that's when I'm running like a headless chicken trying to get around all the bees and get everything to be done. I get up in the morning, I go to the bees and I come back and go to bed and I go to the bees again the following day, and that's the way it goes. And I'd work 6 and 7 days, and then a time comes, the 21st of June comes, and I often think that the pagans had it right, because I'm full of energy coming up to the longest day of the year, and then for some reason it just kind of very gradually changes. And the impulse to swarm has gone from the colonies, and I'm expecting the honey flow to happen. And when the honey flow happens, then I'm running out trying to put on supers and keep the thing going. There would be swarms and sorting out swarms, and there's so much to be done at that. But it gradually slows down again then until about the 27th of July, then the honey flow would end, whether you have good weather or bad, because the bees would be spent and the plants would be spent.
So everyone talks about the complex social order of bees, but how does it all work?
There are three castes in the hive. You have the drone, the male bee, and you have the queen bee who lays all the eggs, and she's the mother of all the workers, and you have the workers themselves. If a queen bee lays an unfertilised egg, the bees will hatch it and they'll rear it and it will become a drone, a male bee. If she lays a fertilised egg, the bees will hatch it, they'll rear it, and it will become a worker bee. If, for whatever reason, due to swarming or supersedure or emergency impulse, they decide that they want to rear a queen or a number of queens, what happens is they take a fertilised egg, in other words, a worker egg, and they rear it upside down, and they change the diet from the diet that they would feed worker larvae on, and they give it an exclusive diet of royal jelly. Now, one of the prime differences that it makes is that the queen, when she's born, she's got her reproductive organs intact and she can be mated, and she, when she's mated, then she can lay eggs.
Amazing. So it's bees themselves who decide when to rear a queen, I guess based on the availability of food. But Micheál, what are you seeing now in your hives? Are the bees disappearing?
The bees are in decline worldwide. Ireland is no different. There are lots of reasons why they're in decline. Agricultural practices. You see the field outside there. It is wild. The whole country was like that one time, and it was a haven for bees. But the common agricultural policy changed all that. You can't blame farmers for wanting to make their land a productive unit. That's what they are doing, that's fair enough. But from a beekeeper's point of view, that was a kind of a disaster, because the ditches were all taken away, the meadows, the hay was all done away with and was replaced with silage. You would also have the advent of the varroa, the disease that came in, and the varroa itself was bad enough, but the varroa mites are carrying viruses, and the varroa can't be eradicated, but it can be treated. So, like, if the beekeeper goes out and treats the bees for the varroa and kills the varroa, you see, they're already after being bitten by the varroa and they have the viruses in their body, and the viruses can kill them afterwards. Because the bees are preyed upon by the varroa, the bee's life expectancy is reduced, and his immune system is also weakened. And diseases that were always there and that bees were able to tolerate and handle, they are now a serious threat to bees because their immune system is reduced. I was running 700 hives, and when the varroa came in over a two-year period, I lost 200. And despite my best efforts, I've never been able to replace them. And I was at 500 for maybe 5 or 6 years, and then it went down. Like, last winter, I went into the lowest number I ever had, which was 415 hives was the number I went into winter with, and I came out with just under 200, which was an absolute disaster. I felt I was finished, but I wasn't ready to give up, and I'm glad I didn't.
So to find out more about this varroa mite that's attacking the honeybee population, I'm over now in NUI Maynooth with a research team led by Dr. Kevin Kavanagh. Kevin, what are we looking at?
We're looking at a sample of larvae that have been removed from a hive. The larvae are the juvenile bee, and these are nursed by the other bees to develop to become adult bees. What we're interested in is larvae that have been attacked or parasitized by the varroa mite. And what we have shown is that if the larva is attacked by the varroa, the immune system is damaged. And that is that the varroa can suppress the immune system in the larvae, making it easier for it to drink the blood or to sample the blood from the larvae.
So what is the varroa mite?
Another factor that's contributing to the decline of the bee is the presence of the varroa mite. And this is a parasitic mite which acts in many ways like a vampire. It attacks the larva or the juvenile of the bee, and it sucks their blood or their hemolymph. So that has an adverse effect on the development of the larva. But even more worryingly, the varroa mite also transmits a virus or a number of viruses. And these viruses can lead to the formation of crippled bees which can't fly or just are no good in the hive, and they subsequently are removed. So a number of factors are contributing to the decline of the bee: the weather, colony collapse disorder, which is a whole collection of things, and the presence of the varroa mite.
Where does this varroa mite come from? Is it only new to Ireland?
The varroa mite was originally identified in Java in Indonesia, and approximately 100 years ago it began to move, assisted by humans. And it arrived in Ireland in the late 1990s. And since then, it has infected probably every hive in the country, being carried by one bee between hives. So in Java, it parasitizes a particular bee, but it has co-evolved with that bee, and the bee can withstand it. It's not a major problem for the bee in the Far East. But in our part of the world, the bees that we have, Apis mellifera, they've only come into contact with varroa in the last 20 to 30 years. So as well as having to deal with their blood-sucking effects, they're also now having to deal with the viruses that they're transmitting. So it's a new problem on the scene.
Kevin, beekeepers like Micheál Moynihan tell me that they're treating their beehives with a chemical. But is that working? Is it getting rid of the varroa?
The bees try to get rid of varroa themselves by grooming, so they will try to kick off the varroa, but it's not very effective. There are a number of chemicals that are used to try to eliminate varroa, and one of these is called Bayvarol, and the mites, the varroa mites, have developed resistance to this, which means that it can no longer be used. And this reduces the options for the beekeeper. So in our laboratory in NUI Maynooth, we are examining resistant mites that we've got from beekeepers around the country and sensitive mites, and we're trying to see What makes the mites resistant to Bayverol?
Now, Kevin, your research colleague from the University of Limerick, Dr. Mary Coffey, is here with us. So, Mary, I hear your interest in bees is a little bit personal.
My dad used to keep bees when we were very young, so we used to keep maybe two or three colonies. And then when I got older, I used to help him out just doing beekeeping. I just enjoy beekeeping, not so much from the honey production, but just by watching them, because when you understand the life of a bee, it's actually very interesting. It's quite therapeutic, actually, to watch them bringing in pollen loads, and they're quite organised. We would often wish that our lives were as organised as the bees' life.
Absolutely. And Mary, can you give us a sense of the impact of varroa, maybe on the Irish beehives?
Well, in Ireland, we have been monitoring colony losses over the last 5 years as part of the National Apicultural Programme. Prior to the arrival of varroa, beekeepers would have estimated losses of around 15%. But since then, we have monitored on an annual basis, and we have found that losses between 2008 and 2010 were around 20%. And during 2011, they decreased to 13%. But now Irish beekeepers had an average loss of around 37%.
And Kevin, so that's the problem. But what is your research doing to find solutions?
So together with Mary, we have developed a product called Beemune, which when given to hives increases the health of the hive and the survival of bees through the winter. And this product is like a tonic that people might take. It improves their health, and consequently, after the winter, there are more bees, which is better for the beekeeper and better for the colony. It will survive.
And so how do the bees take this tonic?
The Beemune is given to the bees as part of a food, as part of their syrup. So the lid or the roof can be taken off the hive, it can be poured into a feeding tray, and then the bees come up from underneath the hive and they feed off it, and they then receive the treatment in that way.
So hopefully the Beemune product then helps Irish bees fight back against this varroa mite. But I guess the immediate effect we're all seeing is really less Irish honey in the shops.
I guess with the bad weather we've had recently, there's less honey being produced. But many beekeepers will sell directly through farmers' markets as well. And most of the honey that we get in the shops is actually bought in from overseas and blended. They say that Ireland, because of our climate, isn't the best place for producing honey, but we produce a very good honey. So we produce relatively small amounts of very good honey. But I think the challenge is now to keep bee populations high to maximise that.
So I'm in the supermarket now and checking out what Kevin Kavanagh just told me and reading the labels on lots of jars that I had thought were Irish honey, but which, when I read the label, it actually says a blend of EC and non-EC honeys. So I'm wondering if Irish shoppers buy honey and if they know what they're buying.
I do, yeah. Just to sweeten the porridge.
I like honey in maybe hot whiskey.
Yeah, it would be Irish honey, yeah. No particular brand as such, but I presume it's Irish, but it may not be. It could come from China, you don't know.
I buy Bon Vanny, which is Irish.
I wouldn't be too picky about what brand I'd buy.
I have no particular preference over the country of honey I buy. I'd like to say I always buy Irish, but that's just not true.
I buy Wine Valley honey, actually. That's the honey I grew up with. That's the honey that I continue to buy.
And since several of you mentioned it, I've picked up a jar of Boyne Valley honey, which has a lovely 50 years of honey, 100% pure natural honey on it. But when I read the label, it too says a superior blend of EC and non-EC honeys, imported and packaged by Boyne Valley. So not quite as Irish as you might think. And with that level of confusion about what is or isn't Irish honey, I asked Alan Riley, Chief Executive of the Food Safety Authority, what he thinks.
We've looked at honey and the Irish labelled honey, and the type of testing we'd use there, we'd look for pollen grains in honey, and we'd look for pollen that would be native to Ireland. But when we started looking at some of the Irish honeys, we found eucalyptus pollen, which certainly eucalyptus trees don't grow in Ireland, so this was Chinese honey, which is far cheaper, and it was being labelled as Irish honey.
And if Irish bees and consequently pure Irish honey is disappearing, I'm wondering how this is affecting us As an immunologist myself, I'm curious if it's connected with any changes in, say, hay fevers or asthmas, which after all, they are allergies and they're associated with pollen. So I'm back with my old professor, Luke O'Neill, at Trinity College Dublin. Luke, what do you think? Is it all about the bees?
It's interesting this because the rate of asthma and other allergic diseases, these are on the increase. And they've been increasing precipitously in the past, say, 20, 30 years. And the big mystery is why this is. And there's been a spike recently. They've got even more severe in certain populations. And they're wondering now, is this connected to the bee decline? And the question is, why would that be? And it could be a coincidence, I guess. But of course, bees handle pollen, remember. So if you've less bees around, there could be more pollen in the air, and therefore you might get more hay fever and asthmatic attacks. And there's some evidence for that. It's a bit of a correlation. You know, this hasn't been proven yet. But it is a curious thing that the bee decline in some countries is correlating with increased asthma attacks and hay fever attacks in people. So there could well be a link between the two.
And for the final word, I went back to the source, beekeeper Micheál Moynihan, who after all does produce his own 100% Irish honey. Micheál, what can we do to stop the decline of the bees?
Well, the pesticides are something that can be dealt with. We can ban them. I think that to short-sighted of the people in power, I'm not a political person. I like to just keep my bees and just, if someone challenges me, I'd fight. But for the most part, I like to live and let live. But I feel that the people in power, they need to recognise that huge damage can be done. No, I'd have a personal interest in it because I'm a beekeeper. But apart from that entirely, I can see myself that nature has taken a huge hammering at the moment.
So to be or not to be, that is the question. But whether the bees are the reason for increased allergies or not, one thing is sure, that unless we change some of our farming habits, we're going to see less of them and their product around. I'm Dr. Laura Dungan, and this is Science is Everywhere. Thanks for listening.